Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Udinji Country, as BBM Bumbaribip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Ready Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, you mob. I want to give a big shout-out to Mob Down in Tasmania. Thank you very much. Was down there holidaying, but also catching up with, well, main reason down there for Leah Cameron, Mara Law, who got married, and to Dwayne Good, too deadly, and congratulations to both of you. So caught up with those guys, went to the wedding and caught up with the family and had a bit of a holiday as well. So big shout out to all the mob down there. They talk about Tasmania. All our mob down there were slaughtered. Well, they're alive and kicking well in the 21st century. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn later on with Greg Brown, which is a First Nation man, which is Leah's father. And he was strong with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander affairs down there in Tasmania. Now retired, but had a good chat and yarn with him. So we're going to have a yarn with him and talk about, well, have a listen to the interview I had with him. Too deadly, but a big shout out to the family down there. Thank you very much for looking after us, supporting us, and a beautiful country down that way. And to all our First Nation people down in Tasmania, you've got a beautiful footprint. So fantastic. Thank you for looking after our mob. And it was great to see and great to be on cold country. But yeah, for a little Murray up here in far north Queensland, walking around a scarf, beanie, woolen g-string, shut up, but rugged up. But it was fantastic and beautiful country it is. It's your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong. And a big shout out to the team here at BBM, Bumbaribip Media, who kept the voices running strong here while we were away, and National Talk Black as well. And I'm going to catch up a yarn with Mob of Moreton Island very soon as well. So stay tuned, you Mob, add the conversation to your daily program, National Talk Black, and Yarn Up Strong here on your program. 98.7 FM with National Talk Black, NERS, thank you very much, National Digital Radio Service, a team effort. It's really a lot of rain up here in far north Queensland, monsoonal time. Not a lot of cyclones around about, but full-on rain. And look, this is our known wet season as we know it. Haven't really had a wet season for a couple of years, but here it is with us at the moment. So let's get the snorkel out of my mouth. You can understand what I'm saying, you mob. But Yarn Up Song here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
People dancing and singing. you interrupt me.
I stand with you in the booth.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't wanna believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me, just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited disinheritance? Took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet nigga, new day, same bitch. Nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters. If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me to become complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart. It's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that walk on by. For the lies that they preach us. The violence, silent agreements, the pride and deceit. My willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming, I'm dreaming. The better ways of a better day and some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years. Nothing. We push above where we are. It ain't hard if we all get the courage to get up and get involved with a little bit of love. Come on.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters. If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Family. No.
Your black life matters.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
See you again. this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bama Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calling from the daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australian Indigenous languages represent 9% of the world's critical endangered languages. We must do better. And that's the statement there. Look, coming from Paul Payton, CEO of the Federation of Victoria Traditional Owner Corporations. Have Paul on the line. Paul, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on the line. And as I say, my language, Mulwinch, which is it's nice to be speaking with you.
Yeah, fantastic. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Paul.
Yeah, my name's Paul Payton. I'm a Gunai and Monero Ngarrigo man from Victoria, from the eastern part of the state. Mm. And, it's really, really, you know, important to me that the languages are revived and spoken back in our communities.
Well, exactly. And when you look at the headline there, Australian Indigenous Languages Represent 9% of the World's Critical Endangered Languages, Australia is probably would be embarrassed with that, and it's not a good trophy to have.
Well, that's right. I mean, we should be embarrassed, and those numbers, you know, tell us a story of overrepresentation of endangered languages on a global scale. And mm-hmm. and despite efforts over many years by government, we need to do better, and we need to know why we're not seeing that shift in, mm-hmm. in languages being spoken again. And there's been plenty of reports, National Indigenous Languages Surveys been done over many years, and we're really not seeing a significant shift, and we need to look at why that is.
Sure.
And how we can actually make that change.
And so with this, where do we take this information to? I mean, where do we take our fight for this to not be in the world's critical endangered languages? What does government need to do? What do we need to do?
Well, I think, you know, we need to really pay attention to the situation and what it actually means, because, you know, language connects us to our land, to our culture, our ancestors. Mm. It describes the world around us. It's how we identify as our mob. So, you know, if we lose our languages, we're losing, you know, something, you know, effectively like a library of information, mm. a way to see the world, you know, knowledge that's been gained over thousands of generations, and we really sort of need to recognise the gravity of that. So government really need to sort of look at what needs to change, speak to communities, and, you know, I think that community has the answer, mm. And doing language work at that community level is how we're going to see a shift.
I see that around the country you find some schools and the curriculum, education, you know, are bringing language to the table. That's a beautiful start. That's a good thing, is it not?
Oh, definitely. You know, schools are a hub of knowledge, and we can really sort of foster that environment, mm-hmm. to promote reconciliation, and they can be places of learning, development of resources that can be shared back to the community, or have, you know, that community involvement in the developing of those resources, and then it becomes a much broader community resource that can be drawn upon to share out to the community. So it's really important that we foster that, and we need language teachers. We need to look at how we deliver language in schools. So we need to you know, look at the whole sort of plethora of inputs into language learning, from research to developing resources, the teaching of language, mm. the authorisation of language, learning as well is really important, and the protection of language as well, because so much knowledge has been taken away from us, and
exactly.
Our language holds a lot of knowledge, and we need to be able to protect that going forward as well.
And then you look at across the country, states and territories, at the local, if not state, territory, federal government, they're now changing different suburbs or towns with her First Nation name, that's a beautiful start too, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a real sort of keen interest in place names and what that can tell us about the country. You know, our language comes from the land, you know, it talks about our places and our stories, the sounds that country makes and the representation of the landscape is all in our language, and we can learn so much from that. So if we can use that as a platform, place names, to teach others about our history, about our knowledge and our connections, then, you know, I'm all for that because it's really sets us apart from you know, the rest of the world in regards to our identity and the culture that's within our country.
And look, you would think that the government would embrace this. I mean, when we're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth, it's on this big island. And if Australia is the big island, then do what you can to protect and preserve the languages, own it, so to speak, even if you're non-Indigenous. I mean, like, longest living culture on planet Earth. Rest my case.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, there's a lot of interest, people wanting to, yeah, like you say, name places and streets and those types of things. They want to learn about our history, look at our language, what we've been passing on through those generations, how we can apply it to land management. You know, talking about fire and native foods and things like that, where the knowledge is contained within the language, and so we can unlock a lot of that, and it can really benefit the rest of the community because, you know, it contributes to education and reconciliation, tourism. There's so many different ways that we can recognise and support language revival and its impacts on the broader community.
Mm. Now, Paul, you've been the CEO of the Federation of Victoria Traditional Owner Corporation. Is there a federation of other states and territories with the TOC?
There's not a similar organisation that I'm aware of in other states.
Sure.
The closest would be probably the NNTC, which is at a national level, National Native Title Council.
Okay.
But, not in the rest of the states, not that I'm aware of.
Sure. Look, we're having this yarn here on national radio. Of course, government listens in as well. So here's another eye in the fire regarding bringing those numbers lower in that sense, and with us being front and centre regarding not being a critical endangered language. Thank you very much for your yarn, my friend. And so with this information and the fight for bringing those numbers down, who do you talk to in regarding to make this happen? Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Minister or like Premier of Victoria?
I'm speaking at the Victorian level. I'm speaking to the Aboriginal Affairs Minister.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm also a member through one of the other hats I wear, through the Coalition of Peaks that has the responsibility for closing the gap and that has a... has now established a languages policy partnership. So
beautiful.
I'm contributing to those conversations as well.
Lovely. But every iron and fire, that's what it's all about. Paul, thank you for your yarn. You keep smiling, my brother. Stay warm and look, we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having me. Yep.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. That's Paul Payton, CEO of Federation Victoria Traditional Owner Corporations. Very sad, but Australia holds one of the trophies of Indigenous languages, represent 9% of the world's critical endangered languages. We must do better is the statement there. And Paul is swinging a bat there for us as First Nation people. We are the longest living culture on planet Earth, so we need to bring those numbers down in regarding not being at the table for endangered languages. So a very important yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbarrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to News National Radio Service. Your host for National Talk Black, the ball you on, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Tune in.
take a new direction, because neglection means to count your blessings. Teaching and reaching, yearning to learn another lesson. No matter the season, we take it to another level. Been some time since the soul started changing. It took a while to realize the things that made me. I stay right here till the clouds disappear, so I can see clear through the atmosphere.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming alive from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Internet Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country. I was welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. I'm going to jump straight in, have a deadly yarn with a deadly brother from Tasmania, Greg Brown. Talk about his journey, his life, retired black man in the profession of working with our mob. We all thought up here in far north Queens that all our mob was slaughtered in Tasmania, but they're live and kicking well in the 21st century, and we got proof by talking to Greg Brown, my brother. Very good morning. How are you, Greg?
Well, thank you, Trevor. Yourself?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob. Where are you from, Greg?
I'm a troublemaker man. My traditional country is Tibrakuna, which is in the northeast of Tasmania. It includes places like Larapuna, the Bay of Fires, Wukalina, Mount William, Ben Lomond to the west, and Lumaranatana, which is the country around Cape Portland,
yes,
at the northeast tip of Tasmania.
And a beautiful footprint. And look, it was good to catch up with you the other day. I was down in Tasmania with the family. Catch up with your lovely daughter who got married. A big shout out to, we know as Leah Cameron from Murra Law, that's your beautiful daughter, yes?
It certainly is, yes. What a earth mover she is, with a business and a superwoman for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, black lawyer, runs her business regarding looking after mob native title, and does a fantastic job. And it was great to catch up with you, Greg, down there, Tassie. And look, everyone, like I said, in Far North Queensland thought all our mob was slaughtered in Tasmania, but you are living proof that our First Nation people are alive and kicking well in the 21st century in Tassie, yes?
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the late 1800s, when all the white invaders sort of came down here to Tasmania, they killed a lot of our mob, but some of our mob were abducted by sealers and women particularly, and some of those were one of our old fellas, Manalagena, who was taken away from mainland Tasmania over to Wybalina at the penal. It was like a jail. It was supposed to be a settlement, but it was basically a jail.
It was like a Port Arthur for blackfellas, eh?
But his daughters, five daughters, all thrived, and we formed a community on Cape Barron Island, which is where my father and grandfather were born. Mm. Today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community are basically formed from descendants from Manalagena's daughters on Cape Barron Island. And my dad, he moved off Cape Barron with his father and his brothers and sisters, the youngest of 12 or 13. The second youngest. And he moved off Cape Barron Island in 1924 when he was 3 years old, and moved to the southern part of Tasmania, as in Hobart.
Yes.
Grew up around there. I was sort of born and grew up in a housing commission suburb of called Warrane, educated to year 10. You know, didn't get a chance to go to college or university.
Yes.
That was for the rich kids in other areas of the state.
Yes.
But always worked hard. My dad, he had strong values, respect, discipline, and taught us what was right, what was wrong. And so from there, I sort of worked hard and learned my life skills from other people. Learn more from other people than from books.
Yes.
And went through my work life, ended up heading up Aboriginal Affairs down in Tassie for about 10 years.
Okay.
The State Government's Office of Aboriginal Affairs. Worked for ATSIC down here for a few years before I went to Aboriginal Affairs. And then I finished my career with the Tasmanian Public Service in their senior executive service.
Mm.
But I was heading up Youth Justice for all our young people that have gone astray and running amok.
Mm.
A job I totally love, but very, very stressful position.
Sure.
So about 3 years ago, I retired.
Retired.
But I am still involved. When I finished work, I did some work for the Aboriginal Land Council of Tasmania down here. I still help them out a bit. Member of the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre. I'm on the Aboriginal Heritage Committee for the Tasmanian Government.
Yes.
And I'm also a chosen representative of the Aboriginal community down here for negotiating a treaty with the Tasmanian Government.
Gee, brother, you thought you were
trying. That's basically where I am today, Trevor.
And look, fantastic, brother. You had a very successful career working with our mob. And where do we sit as in our black Tasmanians? We on the go, brother? We proactive? Tell us the space there, brother, in regarding our mob there in Tassie, please, bro.
Yeah, look, extremely active. We have a very political community down here,
yes.
Always pushing for change from government. When I was in Aboriginal Affairs, when I was heading up that department, a couple of major initiatives that occurred were firstly, legislation to compensate members of the Stolen Generation.
Yes.
We were the first state in the country to do that, and that was very special legislation, and in the end supported unanimously by the Parliament, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, when we had a former Premier by the name of Jim Bacon, who was very supportive of Aboriginal people in the community down here. Unfortunately, he died from lung cancer, but one of his wishes before he passed away was that Cape Barron Island, which is where my dad and grandfather were all born and lived, was actually transferred freehold to Tasmanian Aboriginal people, which occurred. A number of fishing rights and we've also been able to push through.
Yes.
And but, you know, we are a very active community.
Good.
Down here, very, very driven around political change. And at the moment, I mentioned briefly, we're in the process of negotiating a treaty with the Tasmanian government.
Yeah, beautiful.
Our biggest hurdle is the government doesn't know how to deal with the Aboriginal community.
Exactly. I think that's across the board, brother, yes.
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we had a community-appointed group of our fellas to negotiate with the government, but the government has chosen to hand-pick a number of people.
Yes.
To run that process, determine that process, so we're in the early throes of starting another political campaign around embarrassing the government around them having a total lack of understanding of how to deal with Aboriginal people.
We will educate them, won't we, brother?
Oh, that's for sure. Watch your space.
Watch your space. Brother, look, it's like I said, here we are in the 21st century, always was, always will be, and we are still fighting our existence, so to speak, in this country, and it's great to hear that Tasmania and New Mob are down there doing exactly the same thing. Representing, but I will say, as a black man holidaying down there in Tasmania, of course my antennas are up and regarding the black space. I noticed when we flew in Virgin Airlines, they acknowledged the traditional owners when we land there. We went to visiting different places like Bruny Island, and also went to Port Arthur, and all the acknowledgement of First Nation people, which I saluted, I think fantastic, which is a nice gesture, but we've still got a long way to go, haven't we, Greg?
Well, we certainly do, Trevor, and look, one of the things where we've been lucky is, you know, because of our dispossession down here, we've had to rebuild a lot of our cultural connections and particularly our language.
Yes.
And we've put a lot of work into rebuilding our language and we've got now a lot of our people can speak our language fluently, being retaught, and we've now got places like the ABC, and you've heard of who use we call it Palawakani, and our language, and so they're using that for place names.
Good.
On their news events and so forth, and we've got even local councils.
Yes.
Which is a big move, using Palawakani for place names and acknowledgements as well. Unfortunately, we've got our state government does not recognise our language as in their policy, and which is unfortunate. We've got councils on board. We've got the ABC on board. We've got business on board. MONA, the Museum of Old and New Art.
MONAROMA, yes.
Which, gets a number of international and also mainland visitors, as well as local visitors, all embracing Tasmanian Aboriginal culture.
Yeah, fantastic. But still a long way to go regarding the head ponchos, the so-called state government, not acknowledging the fact. And that's very sad, isn't it? And look,
Greg, again, Trevor.
Yeah, I'll get you back, Greg. Yeah, thank you, Greg. That's Greg Brown. He's a Tasmanian brother. Worked strongly with our mob down in Tasmania and in government departments, but now retired. And just getting a bit of background on him after meeting him down in Tasmania on my holiday break. And a big shout out to Leah Cameron, who got married. Big shout out to Leah and Dwayne, who got married down there in Tasmania. Went down there for the wedding and caught up with Greg. But we'll get the brother back and have a yarn. You there, brother?
How long have you been doing that job?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm a professional. I want you to know that.
Yeah, pushing that wrong button.
white fella make it, black fella break it.
Yeah.
I got the tail end. All good, brother. I think that they're not impressed with our conversation. They're cutting us off, brother. Government's not impressed.
They're listening.
That's right. And oil always rises to the top, and they're not happy with their true conversations. But let me open up the yarn again, my brother, and we'll finish it off. But thank you, brother.
Yep.
Yeah, welcome back. Your mob deadly yarn here, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Greg Brown, Trawulaway brother down there in Tasmania. Greg, you there, my brother?
I am, Trevor, yes, for sure.
Yeah, they're listening to us, brother, cutting us off all the time.
Yeah, I know. Don't like what they're hearing.
The truth hurts. My brother looks so fantastic. And I'm hearing that you're retired, but you still got your irons in the fire with other different organisations. So you thought you were retired, Greg, but you're still busy as, brother.
Yeah, still busy. And look, you know, it's a time now where I can give back.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, and you know, to my community I do a bit of work for Leah with her law firm.
Yes.
And
so she's your boss.
Thank
you.
She's been telling me what to do since she was 14.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. Don't tell me about boats. Fantastic.
Yeah, so, you know, still on the Aboriginal Heritage Council and still an active member in the community.
Good.
Time for me to pay it back.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And look, a big shout out to a lovely Fleur, your other half. It was great to meet her down there as well, and your beautiful family. Good to be yarning with you. We'll keep in touch. And to our mob there in Tasmania, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And the fight continues, my brother, but always was, always will be, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah,
fantastic, brother. So, Greg, thank you for the yarn. You keep smiling, my brother. Stay black, stay deadly. And we'll yarn soon, Greg Brown.
Will do. Thank you, Trevor. We'll look at.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn. Deadly yarn there. Greg Brown, Tasmanian brother, and just talking about his journey as a black man in Tassie. And yes, it is true. They are still alive and kicking wild down in Tasmania. They were not slaughtered. And look, Greg Brown's a living proof. And working with his mob down there in Tasmania, he worked strongly with the Australian government, Aboriginal Affairs, ATSIC at the time, and now retired, but still working part-time, casual with Marua Law and his lovely daughter, Leah Cameron, who just got married. have to check with Leah. Just change the name, or we keep it as a professional name. Leah Good would be the name, married to Dwayne. So big shout out there. And also good, beautiful yarn and the deadly mob down that way. And thank you for looking after us. And we'll be in touch with Greg Brown and his family forever and a day. This is your daily program, your mob, National Talk Black. Good yarning with your mob. And National Talk Black come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Teamwork makes dream work. Too deadly.